I want to continue on with looking at Psalm 23. So, if you want to find Psalm 23 in your Bible first, and then I want us to also, if we get that far today, to have your finger or something in the second book of Samuel, chapter 11. I believe that Psalm 23 and the second book of Samuel are connected, related with one another. Let's just pray. Father, we just pray that as we come to look at your word, that you would show us new insights of your presence and your glory. That, Lord, you would just reveal yourself to us in a new and a fresh way. And Father, that your presence would be in this place and you would just touch each and every one of us. And Father, you would help us to press on into a deeper relationship with you. So quicken your word, we pray, Father. Make it alive to us. Make it real and challenging to us. Just ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Psalm 23 goes like this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My head you have anointed with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will return. You see, I know in some translations it says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Another translation reads, and I will return to the house of the Lord forever. That, just that phrase there, it says that David went through a difficult time. Yeah. David went through a time when his faith and his trust in God was a little bit rocky. Yeah. He was facing challenges and difficulties. He'd lost connection with God himself. His relationship had become poor and weak. And because of that, he heads into some difficult times. And that's why at the end he says, and I will return to the house of the Lord forever. So let's look at verse 1 for a start. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the one who cares for us. He's the one who leads us and directs us. He's our protector. God is your protector right now. Amen? You've got to believe that. God is your protector. He's for you. He's not against you. He does not have a big stick waiting to slap you down when you make a mistake. He's there to protect you. He's calling you out of darkness and He's calling you to Himself. He's calling you out of the dark days and He's bringing you into days of light. Amen? Who likes living in darkness? Nobody. We all when it's dark, we all reach for the light switch, don't we? We don't like, I mean, you're all right going round in darkness, aren't you? And the next thing you know, you walk into something. We always turn the light on. We need to make sure our spiritual light is turned on. As we turn on our spiritual light by spending time in the Word of God, spending time in the presence of God. And I know I keep saying this, but it needs repeating and needs repeating because people have not yet caught hold of this one. Keep Jesus in the center of your life. And things will go well for you. I know there will be challenges. I know there will be problems. I know there will be difficulties. Grace and I have faced them in our marriage, in our life together, as we journey with God for the last 53 years. We have faced challenges. We have faced difficulties. We have faced problems physically, spiritually, and emotionally. The devil seeks to touch every area of your life and bring something against you because he wants to knock you down. Some of us, have you ever been knocked down? Twice I have nearly been physically knocked down by a car. Believe it or not, have you? I mean, I just weren't being observant that day. And I was a teenager in Doncaster. I was train spotting. And somebody said, oh, the Flying Scotsman down at the sheds or something. And so off we went running. And I remember I was outside Doncaster Railway Station and I ran across, it's different to what it is now, the road setup. But I ran across there and there was a road that went past the front of the railway station. And I'm running across it. And all of a sudden I hear this blowing of the horn and a screech of brakes. And I turn around and there's this car literally about a foot away from me. And I remember it to this day. I literally went like this and I'm running like this. You know, I'm bent backwards, I'm pushing myself, I'm like, whoa, he's going to get me. And he missed. I weren't a Christian then. I think God had still got his hand on me then. God knows what he's got for you tomorrow. God has a plan for each and every one of you. Amen. Amen. You believe that? Doesn't matter how old you are. It's not about age. God has a plan for you. God wants to use you to bless others. He's the good shepherd. And all our needs will be met through the good shepherd. What do you need today? What do you need? Think about it. What do you need today? Maybe you need a loved one to be saved. A close member of your family, you want to see them going on with God. Maybe you've got a member of family that's sick. Maybe you've got a financial need. The cure for each and every one of those is to put Jesus first. Give him his time. Give him his rightful place. And you know, the Bible says God wants to bless you. He's the shepherd. And the shepherd looks after the sheep. The shepherd cares for the sheep. The shepherd watches over the sheep night and day. David was a shepherd boy. And if you read the story of David and you find out what he did as a young shepherd boy, as a young teenager, It tells you. He killed a bear. He killed a lion.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa. You know what I mean? What would we do if we saw a bear or a lion? I'm going this way, you know. I'll be running in the other direction. But day and I'd have, you know, would you let the bear go and take one of your lambs? These were important. These were precious. And God looks at you and me, and the Bible says He's the Good Shepherd. One of the names of Jesus is He's the Shepherd, the Good Shepherd. And so you have to remember that He's looking over you daytime, nighttime. When you're fast asleep, God is still awake.
Amen.
When you're fast asleep, the angels of God are watching over you. They're keeping guard over you. They're protecting you. God sets a guard upon our life. As we stay in that relationship with Him, we are His. There's a story in the Bible where it talks about the rich man who gave up everything, sold everything for the pearl of greatest price. The great treasure that Jesus died for was for you and for me. You are a treasure. You're the price that Jesus paid for. You're the person that Jesus wanted. You're the one that God is calling and saying, you are so precious. You're so special. You're part of me, He's saying. When we take Jesus into our lives, we immediately become part of God the Father.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amen.
Maybe you've never thought of that, that you are now part of God the Father. He died just for you. God sent Jesus just for you, that Good Shepherd. And so David is talking about the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Sheep like good grass. We like good food. Don't we, Dilly? You know, we like some nice food. Yeah? You know? I don't know if you, when you were ever a child, that your mother put something on the plate and you went, I don't like that. I remember saying that and I was told, shut up and eat it. You don't know what's good for you. It's like, oh great, you know. And if you don't eat it, it'll be there for your supper. And there is no pudding as well. And if you don't eat it, it'll be there for your breakfast. And if you don't eat it then, it'll be there for your tea tomorrow night. We like good food, don't we? And when it talks and the Lord leads you into green pastures, He takes you to a place where there's good food. There's something good for you. One other thing that sheep don't like is they don't like a fast running river. They don't like the noise of the water. And so that's why it says He leads the sheep to a place of quiet, still waters. And there they can drink. There they can relax. There they can absorb everything and grow in peace. It goes on to say, so what we have to realize in that part of the psalm, it's roundabout and underneath are God's everlasting arms. That He is caring for you. He's caring for each one of us. You see, the shepherd, as he watches over his sheep, he's watching to make sure that they don't go and eat something that's not good. You see, in olden times, the shepherd went in front of the sheep. And what he was doing as he walked through the fields and the meadows, he was looking for food that would be poisonous to the sheep. And so he was constantly on the watch, because there are certain plants that are poisonous to sheep, believe it or not. And so he would be looking to make sure these plants were not in the grazing area where he'd taken the sheep. And if there were, he would keep them away and move them on. So sometimes when God leads us, he's leading us away from things that can be toxic and poisonous to us. But he said, "Lord, it looks nice over here." He says, "No, no, no. There are some things here that are toxic. There are some things here that are not good for you, that will make you sick, that will cause you to lose your relationship with your Father." And so he guides us away from those things. "But Lord, it looks nice." Yeah. Not everything that looks nice is nice. Looks can be deceiving. You know, you can all come dressed up in your best clothes, and you go to parties, the Nepalese parties, and you put on your jewels and your best clothes, and you look wonderful. But underneath is what is important. Because the outward garment, it wears, it tears. It can get food stains on it, can't it? You know. Oh, dear me. There you go. Needs washing. You see, God wants to wash the inside of us. See, we can't see what's in each and every one of us. But God can.
Yeah.
The Good Shepherd can. And so he leads us into places that will purify us, that will cause us to grow, that will strengthen us. Sometimes he takes us into relationships that are there to strengthen us. Oh, I didn't like what Andrew said to me the other day. Didn't like what Grace said. Sometimes God uses us to speak to each and every one. Say, "Hey, he's calling your name. He's calling you back. He's calling you to himself." And sometimes he uses a man or a woman to speak to you, to draw you back to God. Because maybe you're not reading the Bible. Maybe you're not talking to God. Maybe you're not praying to God. So guess what? You'll have to use the next best thing. Man or woman, young person who's walking with Jesus, to talk to you. And you might think in your pride and your arrogance, "Who do they think they are talking to? Don't they know who I am?" For me, you see, I'm not interested in just earthly things. Eternal things to me are more important, because eternal things are what is most important to my Heavenly Father. Eternal things are what are most important to Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus says, "I know that you have needs." Your Heavenly Father knows of your physical needs, and he will supply. He will make a way where there is no way. But again, it's about keeping Christ in the center of your life. You see, the ultimate goal of God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is to bring us in our lives to a place of tranquility and peace. You see, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And so the Prince of Peace the good shepherd, he's trying to bring you to a place of peace. There can be turmoil all around you. But yet, from the very inner part of you, there is peace. Because it comes from God. And though there's turmoil going on, you're at rest. You're beside still waters. You're in green pastures. God has got his hand and his eye upon you, watching over you. There's one verse of scripture that says, "My sheep hear my voice." The voice of Jesus calling for you. "My sheep hear my voice." When we come to Christ, we talk about we're being born again. What are we born again for? We're born for victory.
Amen.
We're born for success.
Amen.
In John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said this: "Satan comes to steal, to kill, and destroy." But he doesn't finish it there. He puts the "but."
Amen.
He comes in with that, the sword, and goes, "But
Amen.
I have come."
Yeah.
Jesus has come that each and every one of us will have life and have it to an abundance.
Amen.
Amen. God is a God of abundance. And so for each and every one of us today, when we come to Christ, we're not born for failure. We're not born of the Spirit of God to fail, but we are born of the Spirit of God to succeed. Every one of us, God wants us to succeed. Do you believe that? Look at the person next to you and say, "God wants you to be successful." Say it to somebody next to you. God wants you to be successful. Encourage somebody. Say, "God wants you to be successful."
Amen.
You see, Christ had the victory on the cross when he died on the cross and he gave his life for you and me. It says on the third day he rose again. And it says he rose again victorious. And so we live in the victory of Christ. We live in that victory. Today, you are victorious. Even when things come against you, the Bible says you're victorious. You are born again for victory. You have been created for victory.
Amen?
Victory. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that Christ is in you and you are in Christ and he's victorious. Therefore, if we are in Christ, then we have to be victorious. But again, it's back to that. Keeping Christ right in the center. Staying in that focus with Christ. Staying in that relationship with Christ. You might turn around and say, "Well, I've got other friends, they appear to be having a great time." They appear to be having a great time. But the damage that they are doing to themselves may be irreconcilable. It's amazing what you find out on Facebook. Just a few days ago, I was chatting with somebody on Facebook who I haven't seen for a very long time. Some, maybe around about the late 1970s, early 1980s, they asked the Lord Jesus into their lives. And they walked with God for a while. They were in the same church that Grace and I were in. And They walked away from God. And they've stayed away from God, and their life has gone through some enormous tragedies. They lost a son when they were living in Doncaster. He was walking on an asbestos roof, fell through, and he killed himself. Tragedies. They were asking big questions. They didn't go to God with the questions. They turned away from God. They've been away from God ever since. And this person, it's a lady, was saying something on Facebook that I didn't understand. So I said, "Why? What's wrong with you?" Basically, she turned to drink in these last couple of years. She turned to drink I don't know how long ago. And basically, the hospital turned round to her and said to her, was it 2 years or 3 months to live? The hospital basically turned around to her, I can't remember whether it's 2 years or 3 months to live because of drinking alcohol. She used it as a comfort. She used it as a way of escape. She used it as a way of release. But that thing was grabbing at her. And it was sucking the very life out of her body. It was a silent destroyer. A quiet destroyer. She couldn't see it. It was only when she wasn't feeling too well, she went to the doctor, she went and had some tests at the hospital, and they turned around and said, "You've got less than 2 years to live. If you carry on down that road that you were going." Let me tell you this. If you keep Jesus in the center, and if you walk down that road with Jesus, and you keep on that road with Jesus, guess what? The Bible says you're going to live forever. That you have eternal life in Christ Jesus. You have eternal joy. You have eternal peace. You have that eternal relationship with God the Father. The Bible also says, I promise that you'll have long life. He says, I'll bless you with long life. Who enjoys living? Yeah? I enjoy living. I enjoy life. Yeah? Who makes plans for things in the future? Yeah? So you must enjoy living. That's why you make these plans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go there. I'm going to have this. Yeah? And God wants you to do all these things. I'm not planning to leave early. I'm not planning to die. I'm just keeping on going. We met somebody yesterday who's never met us before, didn't know who we were, and we were talking. We were sharing our testimony about Jesus and how long we'd been a Christian and how long we'd been married. And this person looked at me and said, "How old are you? Did you get married very, 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 very young?" I said, "No, not quite." Could not believe the age that we've arrived at. I don't feel it. I'm not going to act it. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. You know? I'm not going to lose out. I'm not going to lose out. No matter, if you keep Jesus in the center, guess what? You're a winner plus a winner. You're a winner two times over. You're a winner now in this life, and you're a winner in eternity. Amen? Come on, we're double portion people. We're doubly blessed. Amen? We're blessed now, and we're blessed into the future. But it's keeping that relationship going with Him. Because if we don't, we won't be blessed in the future. We won't be blessed in eternity. It's about a journey with Jesus, constantly journeying with Him. Not, I'll go this far with you, Lord, and then I'll say goodbye and I'm going this way. That's not going to happen. You know, Enoch, the Bible says in the Old Testament, he says he walked with God. And he kept on walking with God. Kept on walking with God. And one day God turned around to him and said, you know, Enoch, you've come all this way. What is the point in going back? He says, come on. And Enoch went into the presence of God in heaven. Nobody saw him again. He didn't die. He didn't die. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, don't get excited. You know, I'll do it for you. Glory to God. Walking with God. Verse 3 says, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, we walk a path of righteousness, not for our own name, but for the name of the Lord. You see, we can only be righteous when we have Jesus in us. We can only be righteous when the Word of God is on us. It says in the Word of God that He clothes with a robe of righteousness. The moment that we come into relationship with Him, He covers us with His robe of righteousness. Not our righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says. But He covers us with His righteousness. And that we can enter into the presence of God, the very throne room of God. And He looks at you and says, Son, so good to see you. Daughter, so good to see you. He wants to have a relationship. He wants to talk to you. He wants to share His heart with you. You see, the good shepherd looking after the sheep. And when something comes against the sheep, the good shepherd's there to drive it away, to kill it if necessary, so that the sheep are not disturbed, so that the sheep will always have good things and will be protected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, until we meet God in the very presence of heaven. It is through Christ that our relationship is restored back to God. Because God is our loving Father. He loves you. He cares for you. He hasn't got a big stick wanting to beat you. He loves you. But you know, love is two-way. Love is two-way. Esther? Do you love your husband? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Does he love you? How do you know he loves you? Does he ever tell you he loves you? Do you tell her you love her? Yeah? You better start doing it then if you don't. Okay. Love is two ways. Love goes two ways. Love forgives. It's both ways. Love gives. It's both ways. Love takes. It's both ways. It's not one way. God loves you. And when you realize how much He loves you and how much He's done for you, you will begin to show that love back to Him. See, God has a plan for you. He has a journey for you to walk. A journey for you to travel. And you know, when you keep Jesus in the center of your life, that journey becomes an exciting journey. It's like, oh, come on, let's get packed. Where are we going next? What's going to happen next? And you're ready to go. Just recently, somebody's been in contact with me saying, we'd like you to come out to Congo with us. I started praying about it and realized, I felt, I don't think this is God yet telling me to go to Congo. So the moment I said no, they stopped talking to me. But that's okay. Because we need to go on the journeys that God has for us. We need to go on the trips that God has gone on for us, ready and made. And so it's about this relationship constantly that we have with the Lord Jesus. Why am I talking about relationships? Because you see, David wrote this psalm later on in his life, when he was older. And he's writing about his experiences when he was a young teenage boy in the fields with the sheep. And he said, that the Lord is my shepherd. I'll not want. I remember those days. I remember those days. They were great days, they were. And then David gets called of God to become the king of the children of Israel. And he's anointed by Elisha. No, Elijah. Samuel, that's the one. I'll get it right. Yeah. He came later. He was anointed by Samuel to become the king of Israel. Saul tried to kill him a number of times. Saul hunted him up and down through Israel trying to kill him. If God has a plan for your life and the devil is trying to kill you, stay close to God and the devil will not kill you. The devil will not destroy you. He might take a few nips at you. He might have a scratch at you, but he won't kill you. Stay close to God. You know, sometimes in the midst of battle we get a slight, you know, bruising and wounding, but it's not unto death. But it's in that preparation to move us forward into the things of God and to realize that God is with us no matter what is happening. You see, your life should have a purpose. Your life has a plan. God has a plan for you in the kingdom of God. God has a purpose for your life, to use you, to touch others as you journey in your life. Because we're called as disciples. And as we're called as disciples into the things of the kingdom of God, so we're called and we are equipped to do the work that the Lord Jesus commanded us to do. You know, we often quote, and I do it, we quote that where in Mark he gets the commission to go out into all the world, preach the gospel and heal the sick. Well, as I was looking and studying my Bible, I suddenly discovered that if you turn to Matthew chapter 10, there are verses and verses and verses and verses and verses of what we are supposed to do. There are loads more in Matthew chapter 10. There's a full chapter on instructions to disciples. Are you a disciple? Are you going to be a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, maybe we're going to study chapter 10 of Matthew at some stage and talk things through. Maybe we'll do a group session on it instead, on a midweek sometime, and spend some time in Matthew chapter 10. God is preparing you for the journey. God is preparing you for the journey. God is equipping you for the journey.
Amen.
And here in church, what we should be doing is equipping you to journey the journey.
Amen.
Learn to heal the sick. Learn to hear God speaking. Learn to hear and speak a word of prophecy. Learn to hear what God is saying in a circumstance and situation. And when we come to church, we should come saying, Lord, I want to hear from you. Lord, I want you to give me a word. Lord, I want you to speak to me that I might share something to the believers. I might share something with the disciples.
Amen.
You might say, who, me? But who am I? You are loved of the Lord.
Amen.
You are special to God. You are a chosen vessel for service to God. He's chosen you. He's anointed you and He wants to appoint you for works of the kingdom. You're a disciple, a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus, and the disciples went out healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. They came back to Jesus and rejoiced and said, wow, you should have seen what's been happening while we've been away. All these things have been happening in these villages, Lord. He said, even the demons were subject to us. They'd never seen anything like it in their own lives. But Jesus said, don't rejoice about that. Rejoice about this. That your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Don't let it be rubbed out. Don't let it be erased. Keep the relationship going. Keep going on with God. And you'll know the power and the blessing of God. How long have we been going? I think. How long have we been going, Graham? Okay, I think I probably need to finish there. I can do. I've got another 42 minutes, I reckon. So, we'll continue this next week. Okay. We will look. What we're going to do next week is we're going to continue with this psalm. And we're going to look at verse 4 where he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we're going to ask some questions. Why did he say that?